Hi everyone, I'm Debbie and welcome to Confetti, the talk show for wedding planners. Happy Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, May 31st, 2011. Oh my gosh, it's the end of the month. And I'm broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. metro area to bring you information on starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. I'm so glad you're here. Hi Kim, hi Jen P. I'm talking to folks in the chat room. I'm so glad you're here. For tons of free resources and content about planning weddings for a living, please visit my website, weddingsforaliving.com. This show is completely interactive. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to call in live by dialing 626-213-5678. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can also type your questions and comment in the chat room. If you're calling in, and you have access to the chat room, I always say this, no one really does this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You can send me a private message with your name and phone number so that I can announce you properly. But even if you don't do that, and I see you're on the phone and you've got a question, I'll bring you on live so everyone can hear what you have to say. Oh my gosh, this is the end of the fifth month of the year. Can you believe this? I tell you what, I'm here in Washington, D.C. Now, I'm someone who loves the heat. I mean, I just love when it's warm. But I tell you what, this is driving me crazy. Now, every few weeks, I pick up a word that I use over and over again. And the word that I've been using recently, much to my daughter's amusement, is tumultuous. This is a tumultuous situation. I am sitting in here and I am melting. The air conditioning is not doing what it's supposed to do, so I've got to get someone out. And I'm sitting here and the sweat is just pouring off of me. It's horrible, but I'm kind of wishing there was snow outside. I can't believe I'm saying that. So I don't know where you are in the world, but right here it is just unbelievably hot and humid. You know, so much for the curls in my hair. Not happening. But thank you for being here. Tonight's topic, normally we do, you know, Grab Bag Tuesday on Tuesdays where I just sort of read your questions. And last few weeks we've had a few changes. Last week we had Kent, not last week, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, Candy Kane of Candy Kane Travel was kind enough to join us, and she shared with us all of her insights about being a destination wedding planner and a wedding, I know I'm not saying this right, I'm sorry, Candy, wedding destination specialist course, something along those lines that she facilitates for the AFWPI, Association for Wedding Professionals International. So, you know, all the shows that are live are archived on blogtalkradio.com/confetti. So you can check out that show. It's a featured show. The date of the broadcast was May 17th. So listen to that if you haven't already. Really great information. So, yes, Kim. And Kim is saying, great topic tonight, exactly what you need to know. Wonderful. Good. And as I was saying, you know, normally I read the questions and go through a series of them. But, you know, I got a question earlier this week. Well, today's Tuesday. So, I think it came in yesterday. And the question, I'll read it out. Hi, Debbie. I stumbled upon your site a while ago, and I'm very inspired by your willingness to help others out. My biggest obstacle is that I'm always unsure that I have all my ducks in order before venturing out into business. I know of people. I love organizing, creating, sharing, etc. But when it comes to trying to start this business for myself, I'm always hesitating. Do I have this covered? Do I know this or that? What is your advice, or perhaps a checklist of things to know and have before jumping in? Thank you for your time and your inspiration. And this wonderful name, I know I'm going to botch it. Shashila, I think that's how I pronounce it. So, great question, and I think it speaks for many of us. As always, I don't profess to know the answers to everything with regard to weddings. I don't. But I can explain to you some of the things that I have experienced. And I came up with, you know, 10 things that I believe are important before you launch a wedding planning business. Now, doesn't mean you have to have all these 10 items done. Probably not. But I think for the most part, you need to have a good majority of these out of the way. So I'm going to go through them. And, of course, if you have questions or comments, I'll sort of look over every now and then at the screen. Because this isn't really some grab bag and a variety of questions, I'm going to sort of go through. But if you have questions, you know, jump in. And, you know, if you're on the phone, you know, just dial the one, and we'll go through some questions and answers at the end, okay? So When is the right time to launch your wedding planning business? Well, I'm sure most of you have realized that never is really a perfect time to do just about anything, right? And starting a wedding planning business is no different. But one of the things that I think you need to do, and I'm always surprised by this, is you have to learn weddings. You have to understand what's involved in a wedding. Now, that sounds really like duh, but I'm always amazed at how many people want to start a wedding planning business but truly don't understand what's involved, what happens at a wedding. So I'm suggesting you take the time to learn and understand things, and that's what I mean by that phrase, learn weddings. Not necessarily certification. You don't have to be certified as a wedding planner, although I believe it's a really, really good start to do that and a great idea. But read books, bridal magazines. Bridal magazines are kind of helpful, but they can kind of give you sort of a snapshot, a very short overview. But you know what I have found to be very helpful in understanding what happens at a wedding are those etiquette books. And Emily Post is the guru of wedding planning. Someone says the sound is choppy. Is anyone else having problems? I always say this. You can't hear me. How can you? I'm going to ask quickly in the chat room. Is my sound? Tell me if your sound is okay. Let me just type this in here. All right. I'm just going to give you a second to respond to make sure that you guys can hear me. No one else is saying they've got a problem with the sound. Just waiting. I'm going to move forward because I'm not getting the... Okay, good. Hi, Shell. Oh, Jen says there's a choppy as well. All right, I think I've got sound here. Let me... Is this any better? No? Let me check one other thing. Let's just check my settings here. It seems like it should be okay. I'm going to move ahead. And if it gets really crazy, you guys tell me. Oh, it's choppy. It might be my connection. All right. I'm going to say a few more sentences. And if you guys, I hate to do the broadcast. Nobody can hear me. All right. I'm going to finish this thought, and then I'm going to ask you again if you can still hear me, okay? All right, so as I was saying, the etiquette books, Emily Post is a great... Maybe you guys are doing this already. I know when I first saw Emily Post wedding etiquette, I was like, boring. And this came up when I was an instructor for the Wedding Planning Institute, and this is one of the required books, required reading. And I remember I made the comment in one of my classes and said, I don't know about this book. I think it's good to have. Okay, good. You folks can hear me now. I think it might have been the connection in and out. Anyway, I remember looking at the book, at the etiquette book, and I said to the students, I don't know if this is such a great thing. It's okay, blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess the word got back. And Joe Phillips, the executive director, was like, I don't know. You made some comments about the Emily Post book. And then, something had come up, and I know what it was. It was the seating for the head table. I was a little sketchy about that. And I remember referring to the book. This was for an actual wedding. And it gave me all of the information. And just going through that, I was like, oh, my gosh. There's a whole lot of information in this book. I mean, just about anything I wasn't sure about what to do with the wedding was in this Emily Post etiquette book. So that's a really good place. It's a good book to have on your bookshelf, but it's a really good place if you're anal like me and just feel like read to it. But I mean, just take a chapter at a time or half a chapter at a time. That's a really good starting point. But my whole point about this is that you have to understand weddings. You have to learn weddings. I don't expect you to know everything inside out, but you've got to know. You've got to sound as though you know more than your clients, right? You don't want them telling you what should be happening unless you happen to be doing a wedding that maybe you're not completely familiar with. Maybe, if you normally do Christian weddings and you've been hired to do a Jewish wedding, you may need to brush up on some things and you may not know everything that's involved. But you've got to learn weddings and have a general overview of what happens. You know what I mean? That the prelude happens before the wedding gets going, and the time on the invitation should actually be the start time for the ceremony and not the start time that you think everybody's going to be there. Those are the kind of things that you should be familiar with. You've got to understand what happens at a wedding. And I'm always in amazement at how many folks have been to a wedding or two and then just suddenly get business cards, put up a website. I'm a wedding planner. Make sure you learn wedding. So that's my number one thing. I want to say number one, not necessarily meaning it's the most important, but that's the order that my mind was working in, because it changes on the hour. It really does. Okay, guys, the sound is better. Good. All right. Let me know if that goes out again. All right. The second thing, and this was something I thought was optional, but I'm just going to go out there and say that as you're learning weddings, you have to think about a specialty or a niche. In the past, I would have suggested, you know, just jumping in, getting your business going, and then start thinking about a niche. I've changed my whole thought on that. Because I think having specialty is what's going to really propel you and move you forward. And if you're not a specialist, you're going to put up a website, you're going to print business cards, and it's going to be very general, very pretty, I'm sure, but very general. And then later on, when you decide to come up with a specialty or a niche and none of that information is clear or evident on your marketing materials, you're going to have to start all over again or make some tweaks and make some changes. So why not do that at the beginning? And when I started my wedding planning business down the aisle, I did not do this. And this is one of the major, major mistakes I made as a wedding planning business owner. I jumped in there. I knew weddings, but I was a generalist. I really didn't do any kind of specialty. It was just out there. I had a look and a feel. I'm in love with pink and fuchsia, and it was all over the place. But there was no specialty, and I regret it. And although I planned several weddings, I enjoyed it, I didn't make nearly as much money as I could have had I specialized. And, you know, my launch, which is coming up, oh my gosh, when is that going to happen? I have figured out my specialty, and I would tell you now, it's going to be high-end home weddings. And once you figure out your specialty, it becomes very clear which direction you're heading with your marketing, what your website needs to focus on, what you say when people ask you about what you're doing. And then what happens, too, is it creates buzz and excitement. And because you're memorable and because you're that and because you're different, people want to learn more. And a lot of times those people that want to learn more are people in the media. And what that does is when it creates buzz, it gets you going. You're kind of spurred on, because instead of sitting there waiting for that customer to come to you, I guarantee you that's going to speed up the process by having a specialty, because it's not going to work for every bride out there. But the bride who's looking for something different, or the bride who's looking for what you're offering, you're going to get a lot more foot traffic. And when that happens, you get excited and you want to move forward and you start getting into this wedding business thing. So I think that having a specialty is way on the top of my list now. And I would not recommend anybody starting a wedding planning business who hasn't already begun one without figuring out a specialty or a niche. And as you're learning about weddings, you will begin to figure out which aspects of wedding planning you prefer, whether it's day of planning or whether it's a certain area of planning. Because as you learn weddings, you should be learning about different cultures and different styles of wedding. And naturally, as human beings, we are going to gravitate to a certain area. So I believe that having a specialty is, I hate to say mandatory, but it's close to mandatory. I think you've got to do that. And it's going to help you focus. It's going to help you narrow down your marketing, and it's going to save you money and time in the long run. So that's my second item. And I can speak from experience that when I did this, when I started my wedding planning business, I should have done that. And you will make more money. I'm telling you, you will make more money. The third thing I think you need to have in place before you start your wedding planning business is a dedicated space, a dedicated area that is yours. Ideally, it would be a separate room that you can call an office, but that's not realistic for everyone. But you need an area, whether it's a certain corner of a room, whether it's the living room, the dining area, part of the kitchen, whether it's a certain closet where you keep all of your items, or even a filing cabinet, or you have one of those portable sort of file cabinet areas. You need an area that is yours, where you can do what it is that you're doing for your clients, for your vendors, even if you don't have clients yet. But as you go out and meet vendors, play a place that you can keep all of your information and know that it's going to be there when you go back. You don't want to set up your area with, I don't know, ribbon that you found that's inspired you, and the next thing that you know, one of your family members is using the ribbon to tie up a gift for grandma. What in the world is going on? You know what I mean? So you need an area that is yours and that you know you can come back to, and that things are just the way you left it, you left them. And as you go through this wedding planning business, you realize you're going to collect a lot of information and you need a place to store all that. So you have to have a dedicated space, file cabinet, a room, ideally, a portion of a room, a closet, anything that you can work with that's organized for you. But it's your space, your uninterrupted area, and it's off limits for everyone else. So I think that's key, because if you don't have that, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go crazy when you're looking for information and you cannot find it. Fourth item, you need to have the ability for people to communicate with you easily. And primarily now, we're in 2011, it's email and telephone. I mean, I would say even email now. I mean, how many of you do not answer the phone or check, you know, take 3 days to check your voicemail because you're hoping that, you know, you'll respond to a text instantly, or, you know, you'll respond to an email much faster, but the telephone not so much. But, you know, people are still using the telephone. And it's not good enough now for someone to email you on Monday and you reply on Thursday because you haven't checked your email for the last few days. As a wedding planner in the 21st century, it's important. You've got to be able to respond when somebody checks out your website, checks out your blog, and communicates with you. If you're on Twitter, you're linking that to your mobile device, you're sending out tweets on the phone, right? Facebook, same thing. You're updating your status and so forth and reaching out to people who are communicating with you. So you cannot afford to wait to respond to people. Clients, that goes without saying. But everybody else too, your vendors, you need to be in communication with those people. So if you don't have a way to retrieve email almost instantly or at least a couple of times a day, I think you need to work on that. Okay? So communication is key. Up-to-date communication, almost immediate. Not to the point where you're sort of glued to the phone and that you're a slave to the phone or, you know, or your smartphone, your Android, your iPhone, whatever it is. But you need a method, a way to respond to folks. And if it isn't a cell phone and you're available at your desk, you know, for the better part of the day, then that works too. But I know a lot of us are on the move and all over the place, but you need to be able to check that communication as it comes in. My fifth item is availability on evenings and weekends. We can go around it and say, well, maybe you can get away with it. You might be able to get away with not having to be available on the evenings, but definitely weekends. Most weddings are still happening on the weekends. So if you know that you cannot get time off on the weekends to do a wedding, I don't understand how you can successfully operate a wedding planning business. How can you? So, I mean, if you're working maybe second shift 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., I think you need to find someone to help, someone to respond, to someone who's available to respond to clients. Now, if you are set up the way that I just suggested with number four, which is with a phone, you can respond to someone, then that's good. If someone calls and they get voicemail and you're able to get back to them and let them know, I got your message, I'm going to get back to you tomorrow. But brides need to hear from you because they will go through and check out websites, because that's normally what people are doing. They're going online and they're going to communicate either via email or telephone. And they're waiting for the first person they can either speak to one-on-one immediately or the first person that gets back to them. And I'm almost certain that they contact you and they don't hear from you. They're already moving on to the next person. So, you know, want to be available, I think, evenings and weekends, because for the most part, folks are working during the day and they need to be able to speak to someone on their downtime. Evening, not mandatory, but I would definitely still have to say weekends, unless you're living in a part of the world where, you know, Wednesday weddings are the norm. And if you are, I'd love to hear about it because that's a specialty within itself. But weekends, you have to be available on the weekend. Now, if you're not available every weekend and you work weekends and it's not a problem to schedule a wedding day, you know, if you work typically on weekends and you know your client's getting married in August, the second Saturday in August, and you can schedule that ahead of time, no problem. But I still think a lot of your clients will expect to speak to you on a regular basis on the weekends. And especially if you're working, most vendors are available their slower time maybe in the evening, although, you know, maybe during the day. So I'm sort of wavering on that. So again, not so much the evenings, but definitely the weekends. I keep saying it, but it's that important. Sixth item, it's a support system. I believe that you need to have a fair amount of support from those that mean the most to you. Usually that's family, it could be friends, but the people that mean the most to you in your life, you need to have a sufficient amount of support from them. It may not be 100%, because a lot of people are not keen on the idea of wedding planners making money or even starting up a business. But I think people are coming around to that idea now. But there are days, and I know you, I'm not even asking, I know each and every one of you can relate to this, where you're in your mind, you're like, what in the world am I doing? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can keep up with this. I'm not getting clients. I don't know what to do with my website. I'm not sure. You know, those days. And those are the days when you need to be able to reach out and speak to someone who has your back and wants the best for you. They may not be able to understand 100% what you're going through, and they may not have the answer of what to do with your business, but you need that support. For someone, sometimes it's just someone saying it's going to be okay. And, you know, I tell you what, that support person for me is my daughter. Because there are days when I'm a little crazy anyway. There, I said it on the air. But there are days where I'm just doubting myself. I am not sure what's going on. And then just a few words of encouragement from her can do it for me. I will tell you this. I am one of your biggest cheerleaders. And I will always be here as long as it's humanly possible to help you and to steer you in the right direction. But the reality of the situation is I can't do that all the time and for each and every one of you. So try to find someone that you can rely on. It may not even be someone in your immediate family, but I say that first because it's usually important to have someone that's close to you. For those of you that have listened or were part of the show with Rebecca Price, she contacted about 25 wedding planners, established wedding planners, and asked them to mentor her. And she got a response from two of them who were actively mentors for her. And if you can find someone to do that for you, who's willing to be a mentor for you on those days when you just cannot see what's going on, you can't think straight, and reach out to that person, whether it's by email or telephone, or if they're local, you know, go over and talk to them. That's a good thing. Don't be discouraged when someone is unable to mentor you. Just keep going. As I said, Rebecca contacted 25 people and two got back to her. That's great. And all you need is one person. If you get two, even better. So that's very important, and I think sometimes we forget that, especially if we're used to doing things on our own. And I'm not suggesting that you ask for permission, because I think most of us are adults and can make up our mind and decide what it is that we want to do, or maybe not decide what we want to do, but we have a pretty clear idea of what we want to do. You're not asking for permission, but you need support. And when you're talking to family members and friends, let them know, this is what I want to do. This is my dream. And I know you may not agree with me 100%, but it would mean a lot to me if I knew that you had my back and that you were there for me. Don't underestimate the power of that. Okay? So I think it's good to have a support system. The seventh item on my list is cash flow. It doesn't, thankfully, take a whole lot of money to start a wedding planning business, unless your goal is to set up in, you know, a commercial office in a ritzy area of town, because you need cash outlay for, you know, rent and fixtures and furniture and things like that. But, you know, even if you're starting from home, there are going to be expenses. If you have a website, you're going to have to pay for hosting each month. You're definitely going to need to pay for your internet connection. You're going to have more than likely a phone. You're going to need to pay that cell phone bill. Training. If you're a member of an association, which I would encourage, you need to pay dues. So there needs to be a decent amount of cash that's flowing that doesn't make it a struggle for you to do those things. You may have to make some sacrifices, and maybe you don't have the HBO package on the cable on your cable set up at home, but you have basic cable. You know, maybe you don't have the unlimited plan on the cell phone, or, you know, you may have to make some sacrifices. But I think you need a decent cash flow. And if you're in a situation where, you know, you don't know where your next dime is coming from to do the basic things in your life, this may not be the best time to start your wedding planning business. It doesn't mean it goes on hold for, you know, it prevents you from doing so, but maybe this is the time that you spend learning weddings and figuring out your niche and doing those kind of things and going out and meeting vendors and saying to them, I'm going to launch my wedding business at the end of the year, but I really want to get a good list of vendors in my area. Spend that time developing that list because you're going to come out on top, because by the time you're ready to launch your business, you'll have all of that done. But if cash flow is a problem for you, we're doing those things, you know, paying hosting and the internet connection and the website are a real, real struggle, I would say hold off. Or you're going to sacrifice something else and say, you know, I want this wedding planning business more than I want HBO. And I'm just using that as an example. I don't know what it is for you, but there needs to be a decent amount of cash flowing. And that's relative. I don't know what that amount is going to be for you. But find out what those things cost that you know you need to operate the business, and set aside an amount, what you need each month, and then see if you can do that. For most of us, if we have full-time jobs, that's where a lot of that money's coming from, right? We're siphoning off some of that each month to pay those expenses until the business can support us. And hopefully that's the goal for each of you, is that the business will at some point support you, whether it's full-time or part-time, okay? The eighth item on my list is a reliable method of getting around. You need it. Depending on where you are, it may or may not be a car. I say that because living in New York, having a car was one of the biggest headaches I had. I could never find a place to park it. It was, you know, they did this alternate side of the street cleaning nonsense. Tumultuous. There I go, using that word again. It was horrible. So maybe it's not a car. But for most of us, I think it will be a car. And maybe it's not a car that you own. Maybe it's a car that you have access to. If you've got a reliable mode of public transportation and everything you're doing is within a small radius and that's the way that you can get around, then make that work for you. But I'm pretty certain that on the wedding day for your clients, if you're a part of that, you'll need a way to get from point A and point B and to get your supplies from here to there. So you definitely need to have a reliable mode of transportation. If you're in the startup phase, you've got to get out there and meet vendors. You need a way to do that. And if you're meeting a vendor at 8 p.m. and the last bus leaves at 8:30, that may be a problem unless you're able, you know, to figure out some other way. Maybe it's a cab or whatever. And of course, that requires the reliable cash flow, the decent amount of cash flow. Okay? But definitely you need a reliable mode of transportation in this business. The ninth item is a somewhat regular schedule. I say somewhat because that varies for some of us. But if you're on call and your schedule changes, you know, at the drop of a hat, then that's going to be a little difficult because your clients need to know when they can reach you. And don't get into the habit of telling your clients they can call you whenever. You'll regret it. Ask me how I know that. Don't do that. You need to let your clients know I'm available during these hours and this is when you can reach me, because they're going to want to talk to you at some point. So you need to have a regular schedule, whatever that may be. So, but for the point, for the sole reason that you can tell folks when they can reach you. And if it's just 3 hours out of the day during the day, then that's what it is. But it needs to be a regular schedule. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go, I mean, people are just going to call you whenever, and then they'll be frustrated when they don't hear back from you. You'll be frustrated because you've got the call and you can't respond. So you need a regular schedule of some sort, or, you know, you need some sort of routine so that you can do that. All right? The 10th item and the final item on my list here is that make sure that there are clients in your target area. There is no point in setting up a wedding planning business if the folks in your area are not spending money on weddings or have no desire to hire a wedding planner. That's the beginning and end of it. You need clients. Otherwise, what in the world are you doing? Now, that may mean if it's not in your immediate area, then you need to focus on a different area. That's fine. Then that's your area. I mean, I'm here in Washington, D.C., right on the edge of Washington, D.C., and if there weren't clients in my area, then maybe I need to focus, I don't know, in Baltimore. Maybe I've got to go down to the Virginia side of things, which aren't really that far away, but that could be my area. Your target area doesn't have to be where you're located, especially if you're doing something like destination weddings. Remember we talked about that 2 weeks ago? Your clients may be coming from someplace else. I remember Daniel was on the line, and Daniel's in Surrey, I believe, but he's in England. his, you know, most of his clients may actually be over here and they want to get married in England. So, you know, that can be his target market. So it doesn't always have to be in your immediate area based on, you know, where you're located, where your office is, or wherever your home base is. But their needs, you have to have clients. There's no way around that. Otherwise, this is just a hobby. You're just fooling around. And you're kidding yourself and just wasting your time. If going outside of your local area is not an option, then maybe you've got to focus on something else that brings you into the wedding planning. You touch a different area of weddings. And, I'm trying to think of what that could be. But, you know, it comes back. I'm thinking of destination weddings because that's fresh in my mind. But you need to have enough clients in your target area. Okay? Those are my 10 items. And before I, you know, recap those, I'm going to mention one other thing, which is kind of like an item, but not really. You need to really check yourself and be honest with who you are. As a wedding planner, you're going to be interacting with a lot of different people, primarily your clients, but also vendors and your client's family, your client's wedding guests. Oh my gosh, that's a whole range of personalities. And you have to be honest with yourself. Are you the kind of person that can deal with a lot of different people? Can you really do that? And beyond, I mean, are you one of those people that catch an attitude just like that? Because if you are, I can tell you right now, you're going to have some issues in this business. You really are. Now, a lot of us have that in us, but we know how to control that. And, you know, I believe I'm a people person. I like to talk. But, you know, there are some weddings that I've planned at the end of it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm not doing this anymore. Because you're dealing with some people that are just obnoxious. There's some people that are just really rude. There's some people that think because they've hired you that they own you and that you should be available to them. The key is knowing how to deal with all those personalities. And for me, it's really been a lot just based on experience and trial and error. And, you know, what it comes down to for me now, Debbie, a lot of times I'll just say in my mind, is it worth it? More times than not, it's not. And, you know, I'll come home, poor my daughter, my poor child, and just vent to her. But you've got to be ready for that. The reverse is also true. If you're one of those folks that know that you have a hard time speaking to people, you're very shy, you're very withdrawn, you know, rethink how you're going to do this. Because a lot of times when you're shy and you're a person that's very withdrawn, people can misconstrue that and think that you're being rude or that sometimes you're being stuck up. You know what I'm talking about, because I've done that before. You know, I'm one of those people. I think it was just something, you know, a part of the way that my mother raised me. You know, you get up, you see someone, you say, good morning. And, you know, when you go to the office, you say, good morning. And I'm just waiting for someone to say, good morning. That's it. And I always get upset when I'll say, hey, good morning. And nobody, and, you know, the person doesn't answer. I'm like, what is that about? Why isn't he, you know, why couldn't you just reply? And I would always say, oh my gosh, this person is so rude. Until someone said to me, well, you know, some people are really shy and they have a hard time responding. Or they don't want to make eye contact. You know, sometimes they don't make eye contact. My mom tells me that, you know, they're shady. there's something up. They may just be unbelievably shy. So if this sounds like you, meaning the person that really doesn't want to talk to anyone, the person who at a social function will stay, you know, against the wall and wait for someone to come to you, then either you're going to have to really rethink and come out of your shell or take up another aspect of weddings. And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, if you are that person, maybe the design aspect is better for you. Because as a designer, there's less hand-holding, there's less interaction with your clients, and almost to the point that a lot of society expects someone with a creative mind, but we accept that someone with a creative mind can be somewhat eccentric, and by no means am I saying that that defines who you are, but I'm just saying it's easier to deal with that. Because if I'm as a logistical wedding planner, someone wants a fabulously, you know, a really well-designed wedding, I'm hiring a designer. I'm hiring a wedding designer to do that. And if that person's a little eccentric and doesn't say a whole lot, but their pictures and their portfolio speaks for themselves, I'm going to work with that person. Because for my clients, it's not such a big deal to interact with them. They're going to interact with me. I'll interact with the designer, and I can deal with that. So if you're the person that has a hard time or really doesn't enjoy or just, you know, is at the point of throwing up, of having to speak to someone, then maybe wedding planner or lead wedding planner is not the role for you. And if you guys think I'm being harsh or don't think that's accurate, please feel free to chime in. But we've got to be honest here. You're not just planning weddings for you or your sister or your cousin or your best friend. You're planning weddings for someone who's going to put some money down, some serious money, there's a good chance, for you to plan their wedding. And if someone's paying you if I'm paying someone $5,000 for their wedding, they better speak to me when I talk to them. I don't want anybody who's withdrawn or someone who's going to, you know, cop an attitude every time I ask for something, or someone that acts in such a way that I feel scared to speak to them. And there are planners that are out there who are just like that, and I'm sure some of you can relate. So if you know that you're that kind of person, or maybe you talk to someone who knows, going to give you the honest feedback and say, you know, what kind of things, you know, is there anything about me you think that might be difficult when I'm communicating? And me, Debbie, I'm very straight up and to the point. And sometimes people pick that up as me being terse. But it's not that way, because a lot of times what I'm thinking just comes out of my mouth. It's a terrible, terrible ailment that I have. But, you know, I'll just speak my mind. And that can be upsetting. And I've learned over the years to sort of tone that down. But you as a wedding planner have to be honest with yourself. And we know ourselves. We know ourselves. And usually a good indication is the people that we clash with a lot of times are just like us. You know what I mean? They've got the exact same personality, and those are the people that we lock horns with. But as a wedding planner, you've got to check your ego at the door. And if you're very strong-minded about certain aspects of weddings and you're not willing to budge, then you've got to rethink this, because there are going to be clients that come up to you with awfully bad taste. You've got to try to steer them in the right direction. But at the end of the day, they're paying your fee, and they get to decide what they want. And if navy blue and gold with the marching band is a theme that they want for their wedding, hot dog, you've got to give that to them in some kind of way. Try to tone it down, and, you know, my prayers are with you, but you've got to figure out a way to give that to them without sound, you know, without doing that, oh my gosh, what are you thinking? That's awful. Can't do that. We can't do that. So just to recap, for me, Debbie, what I think once you've covered these 10 points, that you're ready to start your wedding planning business. And again, I'll tell you what those items are. As soon as you can say you know weddings, you learn weddings, and you're not going to know everything, but you have a good comprehensive understanding of weddings. That's number one. Number two, that you figured out a specialty, or you're leaning very strongly towards maybe one or two specialties that appeal to you. The third item is you've got some kind of dedicated space to run your wedding planning business. Number four, you have a way for someone to communicate with you relatively easily, that you can respond to them quickly. And usually that's by email and or telephone. Fifth item is that you're available on weekends and for the most part evenings. Not so much evenings, but definitely weekends. You have a decent support system. You've got at least one person in your corner, hopefully more. And I'm putting my hand up here. I might be that person, even if I do say so. But I'm here for you. I am here for you. The seventh item is you've got a decent cash flow. You've got enough funds to take care of those expenses that you need to that you have to have for your wedding planning business. Internet, cell phone, website hosting, things like that. You have a reliable method of getting around. That's the eighth item. Number nine, you have a somewhat predictable schedule. Somewhat. It's never 100%, right? But somewhat predictable. And the tenth item is that you have clients. There are enough clients in your target area that are interested in your specialty, in your wedding planning business. And once those 10 items are covered, for the most part, I believe you're ready to launch your wedding planning business. I really do. And I'm not sure if you were thinking, God, I thought it was going to be more profound, but that's it. Because if you're waiting for a laundry list of things, it's never going to be the right time. It's never going to happen. And many of you, I know, have been thinking about this for the longest time. And you get real close, and then something holds you back. And if you've got those 10 items or close to those items there that I just listed, in my opinion, you are ready. And if you have those 10 items, or you've got six of them and you've got four to work on, set a timeline, set a date when you can get those things done. I mean, I'm assuming that most of you know number one. I'm you know, understand weddings. And if you don't, get an etiquette book. Get one of those. Get the Emily Post book. If you can't purchase it, then go to the library. But if you cannot purchase it, then that means you don't have a decent cash flow, right? So, you know, if you're in a situation where you're unemployed, you've been laid off, and you are struggling right now, you're not quite ready, but you can start focusing on learning weddings. Then in that case, then yeah, check out the book in the library, read through that, start making some notes. But I mean, conceivably, you can get a, you know, you can get a URL from GoDaddy. You can put up a website with WordPress that costs you next to nothing. Hosting can be about $8 a month. Those, in my opinion, are affordable amounts. And if you can't afford those amounts, then again, you're not quite ready. If you're in a situation where you can't, but you can barely spin around in your room because you don't have the space, then you don't have that dedicated space. Don't start your wedding planning business because you're going to, you know, you need to have some order. You need to have a system. Then you're not quite ready. Then focus on where you can set up your wedding planning business. Maybe as you go out talking to vendors, you find someone that has an area in their studio that they're willing to let you share with them on the agreement that all of any photography business, you send to them. Maybe that's the arrangement you have. Right there, you've got your dedicated space. So do you see what I mean? And, you know, I want to hear back from you if those things sound reasonable. If there are more items than what I suggested that you think are required to start your wedding planning business, please share. But in my opinion, those are the items. And, you know, if you're missing one, then you sort of focus on a date to get that done. So I'm interested to hear any feedback, if that's helpful to you, if you are relatively close. And if you've got all those 10, go for it. Get going. You've got to launch that business. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You notice I didn't say make sure you have a list of 20 vendors to get your wedding business started. I didn't say that because I don't believe that's a reason to not move forward. You can do that. You can do that. Definitely you need vendors to refer to your clients, but you should be doing that anyway. But I don't think it's a reason not to start your business. I don't think it's not a reason, you know, it isn't a reason to get your website up there. Because you got, you know, when vendors talk to you, they're going to ask about your website, and you want to be able to point them to that. If you haven't started, then say you haven't started yet. So you're not quite ready to launch your business. You still got to, you know, decide if you need to get a business license or if you want to, you know, open up a business account for your bank. You can do those things. So if you want to set up as an LLC or as a corporation, you can do those things. It's not a requirement to get started, though. I started as a sole proprietor, and I did that for 2 years before I changed the setup of my business. It's not required. So I'm repeating myself, but I want you to move forward. I don't want you to sit on the fence anymore. I don't want you to sit back and wait for this, the perfect time. It's not going to happen. Check out these 10 items and get moving. The Wedding Business Guide is a site that I created for folks who want to move their wedding planning business forward. I'm not here to do a hard sell, but I know we have a forum on there, which is still in its early days. We don't have as much activity on there as we would like. There's a live webinar, and it's definitely easier for me to communicate with members of that site. So, I mean, that's one way, and that's a support system right there, and that was the whole idea behind creating the Wedding Business Guide. If you want more information about that, check that out. You know, I schedule call-in days, which, oh my gosh, I didn't do for the month of May. Sorry, members, but where people can just talk to me one-on-one, and maybe that's what you need. So I don't claim to have all the answers. That was just a suggestion. You know, you join Association of Bride Consultants. I know they have a local chapter. You can go in there and talk to other people. Have you noticed in our wedding industry how many people just keep everything tight-lipped, so hard to get information? So, you know, try to find a support system, someone you can bounce ideas off. Someone in the wedding business is great. Look for a mentor, send out emails, communicate, write to people, and try to get the help that you need to get your wedding planning business going. But I really don't believe you need more than those 10 items, okay? Any questions, any comments, please let me know. I'm hearing the crickets chirping. No? Okay. So if it would be helpful, I can print out these 10 items and I can post them. I don't know if there's a way to do that on the Blog Talk Radio page, but I'll send an email out with the 10 list. How about that? I can do it that way. It's 7:45 almost, and you know, I try to keep the show at 45 minutes. You guys are very quiet out there, so I'm going to assume that no one else has any questions. I'm just putting a last call out there. Is there anyone out there who is really close to this list and hasn't made a move? I'm interested to know. Is there anyone out there who, you know, has maybe 6 or 7 of those items and, you know, hasn't moved forward? Wow, you guys are real quiet tonight. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. And I hope this has been helpful for you. My email address is debbie@weddingsforaliving.com. Write to me if you have questions. The response may not come almost immediately, which kind of contradicts what I said about being able to respond to people. But because this is not a one-on-one situation, a lot of times the emails are coming in, you know, one behind the other. I don't get to them right away, but I do try to get to them. I really do. So think about it. And, you know, move forward with this. I mean, don't sit on it any longer. Get it together and try to get this business of yours for 2011. Before December, guys, try to launch your wedding planning business, okay? Dee Snyder said, Donna. Donna said she needs to change her office. Okay, good. And if you have your office, that's a good start. That's good, Donna. So, but you really need, it's key to set up in a place where people are not interfering with your stuff. I mean, I have a hard enough time finding stuff that I've filed, you know, much less, you know, to blame someone else. So if you know you're the only person that has access, then you know for sure it's within this area, right? As opposed to, you know, I always get on my daughter for taking my scissors. She's always taking my scissors. I know that sounds petty, but that's just an example. You know, you just say, you know, keep out of there. Don't take anything from there. Anything you take from there, put it back. Or better off, just don't touch anything within that room. And that's the route that I go. Okay? All right. So, as always, I want to thank you for listening. And, of course, for any more information, free resources, please check out weddingsforaliving.com. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. I'm your host, Debbie, and I'll be back in 2 weeks for another edition of Confetti, the talk show for wedding planners. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful evening and enjoy the next 2 weeks. Hopefully it's not as hot where you are as it is for me here. Take care. And as always, everyone, love and success. Go out there and make lots of money. Thanks.